Thank you all for coming. How nice to be here with you all. The day after Ram Navami. And thank you to our kind hostesses for inviting us all and making such nice arrangements for everyone. Seeing it is the day after Ram Navami, I thought we could continue a little bit in the same theme. Is that okay? In the same theme. By reading some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita is focusing on Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But here and there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are different pastimes and different mentions made of Lord Ram, Mother Sita. So there's actually very important mention made over a number of verses in the Madhya Leela. Madhya Leela chapter 9. Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy places. It is addressing, the description is addressing a very profound aspect of the pastimes of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. That is the aspect, the subject, who really is Sita? What really is happening in certain particular respects with Mother Sita? And some more subtle, you could say, more subtle aspects of the whole subject of Ramayana. They are brought out in this series of verses. There's a number of verses describing a particular incident which happened with Lord Chaitanya as he was visiting the holy places in South India. So, let us read some of these verses. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Yes, so we will read then a sequence of verses from Madhya Leela chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy places. So now, a few of the verses, I'll read the Bengali and the translation, and then we'll just carry on perhaps reading the translation. Dakshina Mathura Ayala Kamakoshti Haite Tahandeka Haila Eka Brahmana Sahite. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at southern Mathura from Kamakoshti, he met a Brahmin. Southern Mathura. This is Madurai. Any of you been to Madurai? Interesting place. Big temple of Meenakshi Durga. And it's really very sort of colourful and extremely nicely decorated. So Lord Chaitanya arrived then at southern Mathura or Madurai, and there he met a Brahmin. Se Vipra Mahaprabhu ke Kaila Nimantrana Rama Bhakta Se Vipra Virakta Mahajan. The Brahmin who met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the Lord to his home. This Brahmin was a great devotee and an authority on Lord Sri Ramachandra. He was always detached from material activities. Kritamalaya snanakari ailatanra gare bhikshaki dibena vipra paka nahi kare. Hare Krishna devotees, welcome one and all. Just use your creative intelligence to find a spot. Hare Krishna. After bathing in the river Kritamala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Brahmin's house to take lunch. But he saw that the food was unprepared because the Brahmin had not cooked it. This is rather unusual. Someone invites you to lunch. So you arrive at the appointed time, and there's all the raw vegetables and things just sitting there. So some special situation was there. Mahaprabhu kahe tanre shuna mahashaya madhyana haila kene paka nahi haya. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear sir, please tell me why you have not cooked. It is already noon." Viprakahe Prabhu Mora Aranye Vasati Pakira Samagri Vane Namile Samprati. The Brahmin replied, "My dear Lord, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking." In those days, there was no pick and pay, not even Checkers, not even ShopRite, not even a corner store. So this is his excuse. Anyway, let us see how things develop. Vanya Shaka Phala Mula Anibe Lakshmana Tabe Sita Karibena Paka Prayojana. When Lakshman brings all the vegetables, fruits and roots from the forest, Sita will do the necessary cooking. This is the Brahmin is telling Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago. Tanra Upasana Shuni Prabhu Tushta Haila Aste Vyaste Se Vipra Randana Karila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear about the Brahmin's method of worship. Finally, the Brahmin hastily made arrangements for cooking. Prabhu Bhiksha Kaila Dinair Tritiya Prahare Nervina Se Vipra Upavase Kare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his lunch at about 3 o'clock. But the Brahmin, being very sorrowful, fasted. Prabhu kahe viprakanhe kara upavase kene eka dukha kene Karaha Hutasha. While the Brahman was fasting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you fasting? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so worried?" Viprakahe jivane mora nahi prayojana agni jale praveshya chadiba jivana. The Brahman replied, "I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering either fire or water. Jagannata Mahalakshmi Sita Takurani Rakshase Sparshila Tanre Ihakane Shuni. My dear sir, Mother Sita is the mother of the universe and the supreme goddess of fortune. She has been touched by the demon Ravan, and I am troubled upon hearing this news. Esharira Daribare Kabuna Yuyaya E Duke Juale Deha Prana Nahi Yaya. Sir, due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not leaving." So he feels so deeply, deeply distressed, because as he understands things, Ravan kidnapped Mother Sita, and in doing that, Ravan manhandled her. She certainly would not have happily just gone away with him. He had to use considerable physical force. So he had to touch the transcendental body of Mother Sita, who is such a great, glorious, and extremely chaste lady, practically in a class of her own. So like this devotee, Ram Bhakta, he is feeling devastated, actually, completely devastated, to the point he wants to die. He wants to die. So Lord Chaitanya responds. I'll just read the translations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Please do not think this way any longer. You're a learned pandit. Why don't you consider the case? Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, certainly has a spiritual form full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes, for no materialist has such power. To say nothing of touching Mother Sita, a person with material senses cannot even see her. When Ravan kidnapped her, he kidnapped only a material, illusory form." This understanding is not easily available. This is now, Lord Chaitanya is continuing. "As soon as Ravan arrived before Sita, she disappeared. Then, just to cheat Ravan, she sent an illusory material form. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then assured the Brahman, "Have faith in my words, and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." Although the Brahman was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. After thus assuring the Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya proceeded further into southern India and finally arrived at Durvashana, where he bathed in the river Kritamala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setu Banda, Rameshwara, where he took his bath at the place called Danus Tirtha. From there, he visited the Rameshwara temple and then took rest. There, among the Brahmins, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kaurama Purana, wherein is mentioned the chaste woman's narration. So there are descriptions there of different outstanding ladies, and particularly outstanding because of their extreme chastity. So now, this is now referring to that description from Kurma Purana. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janaka. Kurma Purana describes, when Ravan came to kidnap Mother Sita and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Upon hearing from the Kurma Purana how Ravana had kidnapped a false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god Agni took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way, Ravan was cheated. After Ravan was killed by Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire and tested. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramachandra, the fire god made the illusory form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ram Das Vipra. Indeed, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these conclusive statements from the Kurma Purana, he felt great happiness. After asking the Brahmin's permission, he took possession of the manuscript leaves of the Kurma Purana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then returned to southern Mathura, Madurai, and delivered the original manuscript of the Kurma Purana to Ram Das Vipra. And this is the quote from Kurma Purana. When he was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita, and Ravan, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false, illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. Ram Das Vipra was very pleased to receive the original leaf manuscript of the Kurma Purana, and he immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. He said, "Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself, and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. You have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation. Saying this, the Brahmin very happily cooked food, and a first-class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, there you have it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? Generally, people are not aware of these things. Generally, people are not aware of these things. Although, having said that, it is described in Valmiki Ramayana, not this, but another point which is very closely connected, is that when the Swayamvara for Sita Devi's hand in marriage was about to take place, that bow, the bow of Lord Shiva, had been acquired little before, and it was being kept in one room in the palace of King Janaka in Mithila. And, well, it was such a bow. It took 300 soldiers to carry that, or even just to move it. 300 big, strong Kshatriya warriors. Big, powerful men. So, what happened was, this is described in Valmiki Ramayana, that one day Mother Sita was playing a ball game with some of her girlfriends in one of the inner courtyards of the palace. So they're throwing a ball back and forth and just enjoying themselves together. And somehow, one of those girls threw the ball up. There was a tree in the courtyard, a larger type of tree, and that ball, she threw it up. It got caught, stuck, somehow in the branches of that tree. So what to do? They couldn't climb up. It was too high. They tried to shake the tree and tried different things. That ball was stuck. Then Mother Sita had an idea. I know what we'll do. There's that big bow. It's just right there in the next room. It's just right there next to the courtyard. I'll just go and get it and we'll use that. So Mother Sita went in and with one hand picked up the bow and took it out and then used that bow to poke the ball out of the tree. And the ball came down. Everyone was happy. She put the bow back and they continued the ball game. But some of the soldiers and people, because they were guarding that bow, some of them saw what she did and they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it at all. But this is what happened, actually. So in other words, Mother Sita, don't underestimate Mother Sita. She is Mahalakshmi, we read in one of those verses, that she is Mahalakshmi. She is the supreme goddess of fortune. She is the internal potency of the Lord. She is immensely powerful. She is immensely powerful. And Durga Devi, who is the presiding deity of the material nature, and whose power, whose Shakti is infusing any material thing with whatever power it has, even our bodies, whatever power we may have physically, that's all coming from Durga Devi. So that Durga Devi, Parvati, she is just a little spark. If Sita Devi as Mahalakshmi, if she is some gigantic fire, Durga Devi's just little spark. Really insignificant, actually. Of course, compared to us, Durga Devi is very great, but still, compared to Sita Devi, Durga Devi is really not very powerful at all. Not powerful at all. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, having described having shown the universal form and described so many of the potencies, different personalities and things within the material world which are particularly powerful, then at the end of all that, Lord Krishna says, why are you so interested in all these things? Because you should know that all these beautiful and wondrous creations by material standards, they spring from just a spark of my splendor. With a single fragment of myself, I maintain and sustain not just this one universe, but the entire material realm. So Sita Devi, Durga Devi, compared to Sita, is like that also. Little fragment, a spark of the splendor of the real Mahalakshmi, Sita Devi. And Ravan. By material standards again, he was exceptionally powerful. But he is just one of many billions, untold trillions and zillions of living beings within this universe who get whatever power they have from Durga Devi. So Ravan, he had some power. He had some power, of course. But there are so many people living at that time, and then so many animals and different other species, and so many, all of them have some power. Whatever power they have is coming from Sita Devi, or from Durga Devi, who's just a little fragment, insignificant fragment, of Sita Devi. And Ravan also, whatever Shakti he had, was just a little bit of Durga Devi's Shakti. He is a little empowered by the external energy. So, understanding that, how would it be possible for Ravan to overpower Sita and by force take her away, and she just became his captive? And then he took her to Lanka, and she was there in the Ashok Grove being guarded by different people. How could they keep her? How could they keep her captive? It's not possible. Totally. Unless she was just playing a game with them. But that's not really the case exactly. So this is a very interesting aspect of the pastimes of Lord Ram. Of course, Lord Ram, as we discussed last night in Pretoria Temple, he felt great separation from Mother Sita, and he felt very concerned. She was apparently a prisoner, a ravana. Of course, he was separated from Sita. He was separated. She had gone to the abode of Agni Devi, Agni Dev, and was being cared for by Parvati there. So he was separated. But the whole idea of that desperate concern, how to rescue Sita and save her life, well, it's all the Leela, actually. It doesn't really minimize, I mean, these things that we've just been reading don't really minimize the fact that Lord Ram was very concerned. This is the influence of Yoga Maya. In Lord Ram's pastimes, there's a little Yoga Maya. And this is one of the main places where there's some Yoga Maya. And even the Lord himself doesn't really understand what's the situation. In that way, he gets into such a mood of extreme concern, and then mounts that great expedition to rescue Sita. Yes, so the pastimes of Lord Ram and the personality of Lord Ram and the personality of Mother Sita, they're all very amazing. All very amazing. Yeah, completely transcendental. There's very interesting description if you go to Tirupati. You go to Tirupati. There's very interesting description there about the Maya Sita. Because the Maya Sita, she's a person. She's not just some sort of mystical creation. She's a person. She's a woman. And she's actually, you know, not a small personality. Her name actually is Vedavati. And after this whole incident, I mean, after this whole big thing which happened, being kidnapped and then rescued, and Ravana killed, and all the extreme drama, she decided, I want to accept Ram as my husband. Yeah. But Ram could not accept her because he was Eka Patni Vrata, one of his very special characteristics of Lord Ram, that he had taken that vow, only one wife, come what may. Listen, Kitty Winks. Shanti, shanti. Otherwise you'll have to go into the back. So, yes, so Vedavati, she decided, I have to have Lord Ram as my husband. But it was not possible at that time. So it's a long story, actually. And you'd have to go to Tirupati to really get all the details. But she appeared there, she took birth there, as Padmavati, if I remember correctly. And she then married Srinivas, who is Lord Vishnu, and whose deity is Balaji Venkateshwar. That is sort of the history behind Tirupati. It is how a Vedavati was able to fulfill her desire of marrying the Lord. It happened there. And, you know, it's actually quite a long story. Yes, but Lord Ram and Mother Sita their relationship is very amazing. Mother Sita is very amazing, transcendental personality. And Lord Ram, in wanting to rescue Mother Sita, he was serious. He was serious. It was not just a game that, well, we know she's okay. This is just a Maya Sita. You know, we can knock Ravan out of the picture any time. Just, you know, flick the finger, Ravan goes flying, or his head goes flying. Lord Ram was very serious about rescuing Sita. And as we mention oftentimes when discussing this, that in this way he's showing, Lord Ram is showing the depth of his affection, the depth of the relationship between himself and Mother Sita. It is not a, you know, of course it is not just a common husband and wife relationship. We will not mention any names, but one devotee here remembers a particular incident in Durban Rath Yatra some years ago. Would you believe someone on one of the chariots, could have been me, in fact it was, threw an orange and hit this devotee in the eye, this poor devotee, and almost knocked her out actually, and she was in some pain. It was really quite a scene actually, and I thought, oh no, what's going to happen now, what have I done? So I phoned a few days later to find out how she was, and who should answer the phone but her husband. And I said, oh, you know, I hit your wife in the head. Is she okay? And, you know, things like that. And the husband said, oh, why didn't you hit her other eye? Please don't mind me saying that. This is a true life story. But the relationship between Sita and Ram, it's just another dimension. It's many, many further dimensions, actually. Yeah. It's really, you know, it's something from another world. That type of relationship in the material world we don't have experience of. It's just, you know, little, anyway, material reflections. That's really what we have experience of. But Sita and Ram, oh. So Lord Ram, even though the situation was like that, actually, and Lord Ram is the Supreme Lord. He's omniscient. He's not short of understanding. But still, in the context of this amazing pastime, such an amazing pastime, we don't really find pastimes very much like this at all with other forms of the Lord. So, in the whole mood, in the context of the pastime, and deeply absorbed in the pastime, so Lord Ram, he was serious. I've got to get Sita back. And in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, there at the end of the tenth chapter, one of the two chapters describing the appearance of Lord Ram, so right at the end of the 10th chapter, there are two verses. One of them describes Lord Ram as more or less as a husband. One of them describes Mother Sita as a wife. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that Lord Ram was so faithful to his wife, to Sita Devi, that even though he could have easily just manifested, Prabhupada says, hundreds, thousands of Sita Devis, replacement Sita Devis. Just like that. It's nothing. Less than nothing, practically. He could have done it, but he didn't do it because he wanted to show how a husband should look after his wife, or ultimately how he, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he is bound by his devotees' love, is bound by their love, inextricably, completely, inescapably bound by the love of the devotee. Well, of course, we're talking about Mother Sita, who's very, very special, even amongst the devotees. But still, the point in principle is that the Lord becomes controlled by the love of his devotees. And even relatively neophyte devotees like ourselves, who are just trying to do some service and like that, but still the Lord appreciates the devotee. He appreciates even a little service. What to speak of someone like Mother Sita? But the Lord actually appreciates the service, even a little service done by a devotee who may not even be sure that he or she really wants to be a devotee, may still be considering, you know, should I do something else? Should I just have continued worshipping Durga Devi or Murga or somebody? Or should I just have been a materialist? So such a devotee somehow or other does a little service. Krishna appreciates so much. The Lord appreciates so much. There's in the ninth canto, just before the description of Lord Ram in the fourth chapter, there's very, really amazing description of the encounter between Maharaj Ambarish and Devasa Muni. Devasa Muni, as we know, he is very sort of cantankerous person. You irritate him. Whew, watch out. In fact, we do the seminar on the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, those mentioned in the 10th canto. There's about 20-something, 21, 22. About half of them became demons because they were cursed by Devasa Muni. Really? So, he's really, you know, someone actually should keep away from, frankly. But if you happen to just unavoidably get into his association, well, be on your best behavior and pray. So Maharaj Ambarish, Devasa Muni became angry with him for no good reason. No good reason at all. And took one hair from his head, threw it on the ground, and from it came a great fiery demon who then attacked Maharaj Ambarish. And what did Maharaj Ambarish do? He didn't panic. He didn't try to run or become upset, anything like that. He just stood there, folded his hands, and just took shelter of the Lord. And as his mind became more and more deeply absorbed in remembering the Lord and taking shelter of the Lord, then he just became overwhelmed. Tears started coming from his eyes. And then the Sudarshan Chakra arrived and destroyed the demon and then chased Devasamuni. Devasamuni then going here and there trying to escape. Eventually he approached the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha. Please save me. This is your chakra. So you please save me. You are very merciful to the fallen. And here I am. I'm very fallen. So you please save me. Withdraw your chakra. So the Lord, he explained to Devasamuni that I'm not able to do that. I can't do it. It's actually beyond me to do it. It's not within my capability to withdraw that chakra, which is chasing you and which is going to get you in due course. And Devasamuni asked the Lord, why? Why can't you do anything? It's your chakra. It's your weapon. And I'm taking shelter of you. Why can't you do anything? You're the one who threw the chakra. And the Lord explained that. This is actually described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. The Lord explained that, well, first of all, Devasamuni said to the Lord, you are famous for having a very soft heart, a very kind heart, and you're very kind, very compassionate to the fallen. And here I am, I'm one of the fallen. Please be compassionate to me. Show the softness of your soft heart. And Lord Narayan told Devasamuni, yes, it's a fact. I have a very soft heart. I have a very soft heart. But the problem is, I've lost my heart. I don't have my heart any longer. I don't have a heart. I've given my heart to my devotees. They have my heart. So if you want some mercy from my compassionate heart, you have to go to the devotee. You have to approach Maharaj Ambarish, because he has my heart. And only if you please him, if you satisfy him, then you can get some mercy, some of my compassion. So it's a very beautiful, very amazing description. And then, In the Bhagavatam itself, then the Lord tells Devasa that my devotees are so dear to me. He says, I'm completely under the control of my devotees. I have no independence at all. And then he tells Devasa, what to speak of my devotees? Even someone who is a devotee of my devotee is very dear to me. Very dear. So this, of course, raises a very interesting point. Who is this person, or who are these people who somehow they're not being included in the category of devotees? They're being placed as a separate category. Devotees of the devotee. Who are these people? Who could they be? Are they, if they're devotees of devotees, then are they just devotees in the normal sense? Because devotees of the Lord, any real devotee will be a devotee of the devotees also. And anyone who's generally devoted to the devotees will be devoted to Krishna, will be a devotee. So it's like the two are one, devotee and devotee of the devotee. How could you separate them? But still, there's another category. There can be, and there are examples of another category, who are not devotees, but somehow, due to certain circumstances and situation, they are devotees of devotees. They're very dedicated to devotees, although they're not devotees of the Lord. An example which is given, there are a number of examples, but an example is Agasura, who was definitely not a devotee. Aga means sinful, and Asura means demon. So in other words, his name was Sinful Demon. Imagine introducing yourself. What's your name? Oh, my name is Sinful Demon. That's his name. So Agasura, he was certainly not a devotee. If anything, he was like sort of the textbook case of someone who was demoniac. He was practically just the prime example of a demon. You could hardly be more demoniac. So, but the thing is, he was the brother, one of the brothers, of Putana. Putana, of course, obviously, was also a demon. But then she was killed by Krishna. And then she became a nurse in Krishna's pastimes, in the kingdom of God. In other words, Putana became a devotee. And Agasura, he was very devoted to Putana. He was very dedicated to Putana. Unknown to him, by this stage, she was already a devotee, and in fact she was basically a pure devotee, a resident of the kingdom of God. But Agasura, thinking of her as she had been, as his demoniac sister, Agasura, he was determined, my sister, this Krishna killed my sister. I'm going to get him. And I'm going to kill him and take his blood and offer it to my sister. So he was very devoted in his way to his sister, and effectively he was a devotee of a devotee without being a devotee, so to speak. So when Krishna killed him, what happened? He went to Vaikuntha. Yeah. Because of his relationship with Putana. So we're just making the point. The point is that the Lord is so merciful. It's almost like unimaginably merciful. And of course you see that particularly with the devotees. And the more the devotee is a devotee, a pure devotee, really, the more advanced the devotee is, and the more love the devotee really has for the Lord, the more the Lord is devoted to the devotee and merciful to the devotee and reciprocates, and it is extremely deep. You know, it makes Romeo and Juliet look like just pathetic. Which it is. Even less than pathetic. It's just like trivial. It's just totally trivial. So yeah. So the Lord is so extremely compassionate and merciful to the devotees. Even a beginning devotee. Even, you know, some special cases like we mentioned. And what to speak of to Mother Sita. And so therefore we see Lord Ram, what lengths he went to for Mother Sita. What lengths. And so many people died, but that was not the point. The point was to rescue Sita. His devotion to Sita was such that let the whole world die, but I must have Sita. I must look after my Sita. Yes, it's very amazing. On the other hand, and I mean right on the other hand, polar opposite, we have Ravana himself, who just embodies materialism practically absolutely. You know, Ravana was so tenacious in his attachment to sense gratification and whatever might give it, that when Lord Ram approached him on the final evening, just the night before the final day when Ravana was actually killed, Lord Ram approached him and told Ravana that just give me Sita back. That's all. Just give me Sita back. She's my wife. We've been married for years. Give me Sita back. You give me Sita back, I'll bring all your family members, because they're all dead. I'll bring all of them back to life. All your soldiers, all your associates, everyone. I'll bring them all back to life. And I'll make them all forget that we were ever enemies. I'll make them think we were always friends. And we will be friends. And you just continue ruling Lanka. Your position will not change. You'll be king of Lanka. And I'll be your friend. And we'll live happily. Just give me Sita back, that's all. Ravan refused. So what can you say? And the next day, the next morning, Ravana came out of the palace and looked out over the scene on the battlefield. His army does no longer exists. He is literally on his own. And he looks out, and there are all these monkeys and bears and a whole army of Lord Ram. And Valmiki Ramayana says that the number of monkeys and bears and other warriors of Lord Ram, the number was, this is a Vedic number, 1 koti Maha Oga. This is 1 followed by 64 zeros. How many is that? Anyway, it's a massive, massive, massive number. And one devotee did a calculation that if he killed 1 monkey a second, it would have taken more than a day of Brahma.
Sure.
But anyway, his mind, his consciousness was such that he came out and he saw this incredible sight, but he thought, no problem. I'm just killed them, like I've killed so many others in the past. So like this, he is really the emblem of materialism, and Lord Ram is the emblem, and he is the embodiment of transcendental love and transcendental care. So, yes. So then Lord Ram killed Ravan. That was the end of Ravan. And rescued Sita. Of course, as we know, Hanuman had jumped over earlier, some days before, because he had an idea. There were rumors and ideas that Sita may have been taken to Lanka, so he jumped over. And sure enough, he found Sita in the Ashok Grove. But how to identify her? Is this really Sita, or is it, you know, just a trick because he'd never seen her? He only met Lord Ram after she'd been kidnapped. Before jumping to Lanka, he asked Lakshman, he couldn't speak to Ram, because Ram was just too much overwhelmed. So he spoke to Lakshman. Lakshman, describe Sita to me. Lakshman said, I can't. I don't know what she looks like. And Hanuman said, what? I mean Sita. You know, you've been together for years. Tell me what she looks like. Give me a description. I want to help. I want to try and find her. Describe her. What does she look like? Lakshman said, I don't know. I don't know what she looks like. And Hanuman got sort of a little agitated. But, you know, I'm trying to help. Tell me what she looks like. I'm going to try and find her. And Lakshman said, no. I don't know what she looks like. I've never looked above her feet. And then Lakshman gave a very beautiful description of the lotus feet of Mother Sita and the markings on the soles and like that. So when Hanuman jumped over, he had, I think it was the ring, wasn't it?
Yes.
Of Ram. And I believe he had one or two other things. So he came in front of Sita and, you know, what to do now. So showed her the ring. Ah, yes, she recognized that and one or two other things. But still he wasn't sure because, well, you know, could be a good actor. Like some Ayurvedic doctors. They take your pulse reading because a good Ayurvedic doctor, they take your pulse, from it they can tell if you got heart trouble, if you got a sore toe, if you got a cold, if you got an upset stomach, if you got a tumor on your brain. I mean, you know, they can tell. But nowadays, many of the Ayurvedic doctors, they take your pulse. You have a headache. Yeah, I do. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. That's it. You have a cold? No. No, yeah, that's right. Yes. Fishing. Try all the possible diseases until you say, yeah, I feel a bit like that. Ah, yes. So anyway, Hanuman was sort of fishing or whatever, trying to understand, but how to really understand. Then he looked at her feet, and he knew no one could have feet like hers, because you can't do that. I mean, you can't make your feet look in a certain way like the markings on your feet. And he understood, this is Sita. So then Hanuman decided, I am a monkey. Let me get up to some monkey business. Let me teach these rascals a lesson. So he started smashing the Ashokra. And then they called soldiers, they told Ravan, but they were all coming, and Hanuman was just killing them all. And one very colourful description that Ravan sent one of his big generals, one of his main military leaders, go and sort out that monkey. And so that big man, big time Kshatriya, he went down there and he confronted Hanuman. What do you think you're doing, monkey? And Hanuman said, I am a servant of Ram. And that general said, Ram. And he started criticizing and making fun of Lord Ram and like this. And you don't do that. That's not a good idea in front of Hanuman. That's a very bad idea. So this man was talking and criticizing Ram, and Hanuman could not tolerate it. So you know what he did. He urinated in the man's mouth. And this man, it was just such an experience. He ran back to Ravan. And you know, it came before Ravan, he's bewildered. Did you find the monkey?
Yeah.
Did you catch him? No. Well, what happened? What happened to you? He urinated in my mouth. So then Hanuman jumped back. He could have taken Sita. But then he thought, no. Must not touch Sita, it would not be right, on the one hand. And it is Ram's business to rescue her. I'm just here to find out, that's all. So let me not try to get sort of too big for my boots. I'll just go back and tell Ram. So he did. He went back and told Ram. Ram was very happy. Then somehow the word had got back, maybe through email or someone's Facebook. You know what happened in the Ashok Grove? Hanuman urinated in this man's mouth. So Ram knew. And he said to Hanuman, I heard you urinated in the man's mouth. Hanuman said, yeah. It was great. And Lord Ram said, but look, Hanuman, he's a Kshatriya. You should fight. You fight with Kshatriyas. You don't do things like that. And Hanuman said, yeah. And I thought about that. But then I thought, no, it's okay. I'm a monkey. So anyway, yeah, Lord Ram's very kind. And he's very... He talk about being the devotee of his devotee. He is so devoted to his devotees. First of all, Mother Sita. When Vibhishan, just before the battle, before they crossed to Lanka, Vibhishan came, abandoned Ravan, and came over to join Ram, and came over in some sort of aircraft, And everyone saw, oh, look, here's some aircraft coming from Lanka. Must be some demons. Let's get them. And Lord Ram said, it's okay, relax. It's just some small aircraft. Look, there's so many of us. Let's see who it is. See what he wants. And then he landed, and everyone saw, ah, it's Vibhishan. He's one of the brothers of Ravan. And Angada, one of the chief monkeys, he said to Ram, let me kill him. He's a demon. Let me just kill him. And Ram said, no, look, he's on his own. Let's see what he wants. And if he makes trouble, then okay. But let's see. And Vibhishan then approached Ram. And Angada is telling Ram, you know, right next to him, let me kill him. He's a demon. He's a demon. Let me kill him. And he spoke some very famous words, which became like a saying, the only good demon is a dead demon. And then Vibhishan offered his dandavats to Lord Ram and said, my lord, from this day on, I'm yours. And Angada said to Lord Ram, don't believe him. He's just a demon. Let me kill him. And Lord Ram got angry with Angada and said that even if Ravana himself came and offered obeisances and surrendered to me, I would accept him immediately. And he said, anyone who comes to me and offers obeisances and says that from this day on I'm yours, I will never forget that person. I'll never forget that person. So just see the heart of the Lord. Very amazing. The depth of the heart of the Lord. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki
Jai.
Shri Ram Navami Mahotsava Ki
Jai.
So let us conclude with a little kirtan. Is that okay? Would you like to stand up or sit down? Stand up? Okay. Let's stand.